That's for our last caller who said painting is like this episode of the Three Stooges.
Yes, it can be. Yes, it can be. You know, painting for me falls in the same category as trim carpentry or fine tile work. I have to take like about 2 months developing my attitude for that day. When I'm going to paint, I have to be in an altered state of mind. I can't be in a rush. Much like an athlete who takes time to prepare for the game by putting on the special clothing, I make a point of never painting unless I put on my painter whites. And I play soft music. And I put the white jeans on. Then I put the white shirt on. And I have to get in the mindset of you're not in a hurry. Prep is important. Brushstroke is important. Rolling pattern is important so that you don't end up with the holidays like Matt was talking about on the outside of his house. It takes a real mindset for me. And when I'm going to start hanging doors or setting door locks or running base or casing, oh, man, sometimes it takes me 6 months. There's rooms in our house that's taken me 3 years, 10 years to get in the right mindset to run baseboard. Oh, man, I can do it, and I'm good at it. I'm really, really slow. It's not what I like doing.
It's tedious.
Ooh,
it can
baby.
Be very tedious.
And with all things that are a finished product, whether it's the paint on your wall, the tile on your floor, the trim board around the baseboard, or the trim around your doors, windows, whatever the case may be, you're getting close to the end of the project.
That's your signature.
So you want it to be done.
Yeah, that's your signature.
But and so it's easy to try and start to rush those things because you just want to finish. But those are the things that you're going to end up seeing every single day, and they're going to bother you for the duration of the time until you fix it or change it or do whatever, knowing that, you know, this isn't perfect because I was just trying to rush it.
Well, and when you learn to differentiate between a good trim carpentry job and a good paint job and an okay job, when you learn to recognize excellence, it's hard for your eye ever to accept anything different. But I can remember back in the 70s learning construction. You know, I kind of started in the trim carpentry where guys were teaching me how to, you know, install crown molding and wainscoting. It was a lot more common back then. And baseboard. And I was learning to hang a door, and they were using six business cards glued together as my margin for the door all the way around. And every single angle of the door had to fit that six card, not less, not more, actually. And I looked out the window, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I think it's going to take me about 4.5 hours to get this door hung. And there were guys out there with the mud truck pouring the slab next door. And, man, there was mud flying everywhere, and they were grabbing jitterbugs, and they had mud boots on. I thought, that looks a lot more fun. I always enjoyed concrete work. I love concrete. You get out there and get muddy, get her done, polish it off. You're pouring with lights on at 3:30 in the morning, and baby, you're home at noon. In the middle of the summer, you're home at noon. Let's get to this one caller, and then I want to go back and talk a little about opening paint, why it's so important, and then applying paint just a little bit. Good morning. I think we have Jody on the line. Jody, how can we help you? Or Joe?
Can you hear me okay?
Joe from Mesa, yes.
Yes. I was listening to you earlier about opening paint cans and some of the problems that a lot of people have with opening them. Of course, using that key is always a really good idea. But having been a professional painter for 40-plus years, one of the paint tricks that we use is a lot of painters use a tool called a 5-in-1. Maybe now it's an 8-in-1 or something.
Yeah.
It's used to open cans, clean rollers, bridge cracks and so on. Well, it's pointy on one end. What most painters will do if they're going to reclose the cans is they will take that pointy end and poke little holes all inside that little ridge there. It doesn't damage the seal or anything like that. So the paint will drain back into the pan, into the bucket. And then you take a little, you take your brush and you clean it all out to make sure there's no paint left in there, because that'll create like a glue seal, which I'm sure you're experiencing.
Oh, yeah.
The other trick is when you actually pour the paint, if you're not going to pour it all out, number one, if we're going to pour it all off, we turn it totally upside down and then like bounce it or shake it in the bucket. So no paint actually gets in the rim itself. And then you could always pour whatever's left over back in there. So then you don't have any problem at all. You get a good seal. But also, if you pour just part of it out, what you do is when you're done pouring, you bounce the bucket on whatever bucket or thing you're pouring it into, and then you swoop it up real quick, and you have very little, maybe a couple of drips back down on the pan, on the bucket. But if you don't do that, you always want to pour it on the opposite side of any directions or instructions that they have.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip.
Going back to what he said, the 5-in-1 tool, what is that?
5-in-1 tool, think of it as I want to say margin trowel. I'm thinking masonry. Putty knife, okay? It's a putty knife handle, and it has a sharp edge on it, but then it's got a little hex to hole in it, so you can use it as a screwdriver with a hex head in it. It's got a sharp edge on it. It's got a angle in it. It's a 5-in-1. Now they're 8-in-1s. And his tip about taking that sharp edge and popping a couple holes in the bottom of that rim, I got to add that to my database. That's a new trick. Now, while we've got a 40-year professional painter on, I'd like Joe to visit with the homeowners. Joe, if you don't mind, do you have a couple minutes?
I sure do.
Okay.
I sure do.
Mixing the paint. Did talk about how important it is to get your paint properly mixed before you start applying it.
So one of the things that we do as painters, if you're working out of 5-gallon buckets, is we call what we call boxing it. We pour it back and forth and back and forth. Of course, you don't want to pour it totally full. You want to leave it maybe 2/3, 3/4, but you pour it. You pour it fast so that it moves. You know what I mean? You don't worry so much about a few little drips and spills. Of course, you want to hit the bucket, that's for sure. But
it's very.
Of course, you want to drop cloth around you or something like that. But that mixes the paint very well. Almost every painter that I know of will not go directly into a bucket. They'll always box it back and forth, especially if you're going to put a little water in it to thin it or something like that.
Homeowners, listen to Joe. If you ever see a professional painter open a can of paint and take those little wood stir sticks and stir the paint up, that may be a tip. You've hired the wrong painter. Boxing.
Well, the stir sticks are fine for gallon, but always at least half it so you can stir it better. You can't
stir
a full can without making a mess.
There you go.
The other tip I want to tell everybody,
okay,
is when you're painting, what a lot of people will do is they'll dip their brush and then they'll slowly wipe off each edge on the rim of the paint, especially if they're working out of the bucket. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to gently tap each side of the brush inside the bucket. When you do that and you wipe, you're wiping a lot of paint off the brush. The brushes are made to hold paint. So you got to do more strokes. You got to dip more. You got to add. One of the things about painting is to be very efficient in your movements. The less times you dip the brush in the bucket, the less, you know, although I heard somebody earlier talking about taking a lot of time, maybe that's why it takes so much time. If you do that movement 100 times going around the room, you've got 300 movements.
There you go.
A painter will just do it, tap each side, got his brush out for it. That person maybe dips it 3 times while this other person is wiping their brush off and on.
What some great painting advice from a 40-year painting pro. I don't even know Joe. Joe from Mesa, thanks for calling and sharing that. The tip on the 8-in-1 holes in the rim, it was worth listening to the whole show, that one tip. But also the tip about boxing paint, y'all need to hear. You will never see a professional painter, open a gallon of paint and use a stir stick to stir that full gallon. You can't get that color and the pigment and the binders viscerated, aspirated enough to really get a good mix. Have you, maybe when you bought the can, they put it in that shaker thing and... Well, if you go straight home and start painting, then it's probably okay. But if you let that paint sit overnight or the weekend or a week or two, it's got to be completely reboxed. That's a great tip that I did not have in my database, and I'm going to add it, and I'm going to credit to Joe and Mesa.
I'm going to add something because I had to paint my living room when I first bought my house. A halogen light. A nice, bright halogen light that you can see your whole wall. And I tell you, it made a difference because I remember rolling the paint on one piece of the wall. When I turned it on, when I turned the light on in the living room,
yes,
I could see marks that I missed.
Yes.
But with the halogen light,
it's a brilliance.
It's a brilliant. You can't miss anything.
Yeah.
But it's going to get pretty toasty in the room, but hey, it's worth it.
Okay. All right.
And if you're just doing white, they actually make paint that rolls on pink and dries white.
Wow.
So if you're going white over white, you can use that technology to know where you're at on your strokes.
Sounds like my kind of paint.
It sounds like your kind of paint.
Well, for temporarily, yeah.
So one of the things I want to talk, we've talked a little bit about selecting the paint, opening the paint. I think we had a caller that couldn't hang on.
Yes, we did. She was.
What was her
question?
Well,
she was, I think she kind of sensed maybe it wasn't your kind of question. I told her we could give it a shot.
Okay.
But she has a house similar to ours, I think, lives in the same area of town, and she has sautéed tile, which, you know, is kind of like that burnt brownish, reddish color.
Still one of my favorite floor coverings
really
in the whole world.
But she's kind of gotten in a situation where her house is too dark. She's got darker, lots of cinnamons and things. So she's just wondering how to go about lightening up. You know, what kind of colors that would go with that, that would lighten up that house?
I know an interior designer that's actually going to be up in that neighborhood this week, actually meeting with a client of ours. We have the woman's information?
I do.
Okay. We'll get Janelle Davis to go by and visit with her.
Okay, but cool.
On sautéed tile, paint choice can be critical, but so can skylights make a big difference.
They sure do in our house.
Yeah. So Janelle Davis happens to be an interior designer we've begun work with again. We did years ago, and we're fortunate enough to be able to start working with her again. I know Janelle is going to be right in that neighborhood in the next week. We'll cover Janelle's cost for a one-hour consult for this particular caller. We'll get that set up. So the reason I wanted to talk about how to open a can is how important it is when it comes to storing. And we haven't got to that yet. We still have to get to that because that's a very important part of painting.